I'm just going to pass out a little book that I put together for us. Jason, you can help me. And Michael, you want to help me with this? So everybody can get one. I hope there's enough. And the first thing I want you to do is I want you to put your name on the cover so that if it's left here, I know whose it is. Now, if you need a pen, I have that also, so there's no excuse. Who needs a pen? All right. Bismarck, you want to come and give out the pens? All right. I think one of the things that'll help you, and again, I only can encourage you to take notes, but they tell me, I have many teachers in my family, and they tell me that if you write something down, you remember it better than if you just hear it. All right, so did we have enough? You have a few more? Okay. So I want you to, as best as you can, to take notes, all right? And that maybe will help us. It helps me to remember what I should say at times. But for you, I think it'll be a help to you if you'll write things down, all right? The first thing I'd like you to do. Did you write down your name already? You did that? Yeah. You didn't do that yet? I asked you to do that. Okay, who needs a pen? Do I sound like my mother? I'm sorry. They tell me the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. So maybe you'd rather be more like my father, or you'd like me to be, but I'm sorry. The first thing I'd like you to do after you write your name is to just open up to the front cover, inside cover, and there's a verse or verses at the bottom that I'd like us to read together, because these verses have been taken as our theme for the 2018 season at Pilgrim Camp. And we've held them before the staff, the various staff meetings, and throughout the summer the staff has been reading from this little staff devotional that talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, just as an aside, I've been told that I can offer this little booklet to the guests free of charge. Isn't that wonderful? Look at that. So if you'd like one of these, it's called Pilgrims in Progress, The Ongoing Work of the Holy Spirit in the Life of the Christian. You really want to take this because it's filled with many gems about the Holy Spirit, about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So they're available here. Please only take one, though, all right? Don't take two. I'll leave them up front here, and you're welcome to have it, the guests. Now, is there any staff that has not received one of these? I know some staff just came on. Did everyone get your devotional? Bismarck, you have one? Jason, you have one? Okay. All right, so they're available for you as guests. But let's read together the verses that we find on the inside cover, just to begin all together now. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so we're going to just consider in these next few meetings that we have together the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is entitled The Acts of the Apostles, but I think it more correctly would be entitled The Acts of the Holy Spirit Through the Apostles, The Acts of the Holy Spirit aside from anything that the apostles did. The Holy Spirit as sovereign God was at work. And so I'd like to begin this morning in Acts chapter 2 and just take some time to consider maybe again a very familiar passage for us. What do we find in Acts chapter 2? The day of Pentecost, right? It's been called the birth of the church. Jesus had ascended on high and told his disciples to do something, and they did it. And because they did it, something else happened, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But let's read together first from Acts. We'll read just the first 21 verses this morning, and maybe this evening we'll continue on in Acts 2. But verses 1 to 21. Now, what I'd like to do is we usually read around the room, so it doesn't matter then what translation you have, as long as you can follow, then you should know what your verse is. So maybe we can start with Caitlin, and we'll just work our way through this section, and then we'll work our way. James will follow the waitresses, and we'll go this way with the ladies. All right, one verse each. Nice and loud, Caitlin. Acts 2, verse 1.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them.
And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven.
When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken.
Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?
Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?"
Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus.
You want me to do that one for you? Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Verse 11, James. No problem.
Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?"
Brother Walter?
Others mocked and said, "These men are full of new wine."
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say.
These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams.
In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy.
And I will cause wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and the clouds of smoke."
Jason, can you do 20?
"The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come."
Michael, 21.
"And it shall come to pass that whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Okay, we'll stop there for now. Praise God. Now, if you just look in your books, we're going to try to work through this little passage together. So, what was the setting? Where were they? What was taking place when the day of Pentecost or this outpouring of the Spirit took place? Where were they?
In the temple, in the upper room.
They were in an upper room, right? They had been gathered together. And what else does it tell us about them? They were in one accord. What do you think that means? They were united in purpose. Why were they there? Why were they in Jerusalem in the upper room on the day of Pentecost? Were they celebrating the Feast of Pentecost? Not necessarily. Now remember, all those other people that were in town, those Grecians and Arabians and what were the other ones, James? I forgot them already. Those from Pamphylia. They were there because they were celebrating a Jewish feast called the Feast of Pentecost. You see, Feast of Pentecost wasn't a Pentecostal thing yet. It was a Jewish thing. They were there celebrating a feast that they were appointed to celebrate every year. But why were the disciples gathered together in the upper room? How many were there? Do you know? There were 120. Okay, why were they in the upper room? We have to answer this question.
They were asking, they were worshiping the Lord and seeking the Lord. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?
Okay, so
Jesus told them to wait.
Jesus told them to wait. Sister Martha, you're going to say that? They were there because Jesus told them to wait for something. If you go back to the first chapter of Acts, verse 4 and 5 and verse 8, he says this. Well, who has that and wants to read that? Acts 1, verse 4. Anyone?
And being assembled.
Yes, go ahead.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he hath heard of me.
And verse 8?
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uppermost part of the earth.
Amen. All right, so they were there in the upper room because Jesus had told them to wait. To wait for the promise of the Father. To wait for this power from on high that would enable them to be witnesses for Jesus. And so, simply stated, they were there because they were obeying Jesus' commands. Obedience, put it down. If you want to write anything under that setting, put down, they were there because they were obeying Jesus' command. That is so important. It didn't just happen. Now, some believe that 500 people heard Jesus say, wait. 500. Stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. But how many actually were there on the day of Pentecost? 120. How many of us miss the blessing of God because we fail to obey his command? The day of Pentecost occurred because there were men and women who took Jesus at his word and did what he said. All right, that's the setting. What happens next? These observable signs. What took place when the Holy Spirit came down from heaven? What took place? What does it say? What was the first thing that they well, I'm not going to tell you. What does it say? There was a violent wind. It says a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house. Now that's interesting to me, the way that's stated. This wind blew in, but it seemed not only to blow in, but it filled the house where they were. It filled the room. The Holy Spirit came as that wind. Now again, that was the observable sign. Now you can say, well, how did they know there was a... Well, I think if you've been in a storm, you know that even though you can't see the wind, you can see the effect of the wind, right? And it came so loud. I don't know. Have anybody in a tornado? I haven't. A typhoon, yeah. And you can hear the wind. That mighty wind. There's a power there. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and one of the signs that they see or they hear is this wind that blows in and fills the house. What was the other sign? There was these like little tongues of fire. Again, if you look on the front of the staff book, there's a, you know, they tried to give you a little indication. I don't know what it looked like, you know, but, and maybe even the book I gave you, is there little tongues of fire on top of them? It's hard to see that, but the point is that it's not so much what it looked like. But here was on each one, the wind filled the whole house, right? But then there was something that rested on each one. There was a fire, a flame over each one, indicating the presence, the holiness, the Spirit of God upon each of those lives. I don't know if we have really the time to to go back into the Old Testament. But real quickly, in Ezekiel 37, and there are other references to this, to the wind. But in Ezekiel 37, you remember the story about the dry bones? Mm-hmm. Oh, ye old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We can sing it. Stand that's upon me. Your feet and his goodness repeat. Dry possession, get a Holy Ghost possession.
You have feasted in the valley long enough.
Amen. And so what happens? What happens? The prophet is told to prophesy to these bones. But it says then that the wind, prophesy to the wind. And that wind is a picture of the breath of God. It could be also translated breath. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the wind. And that breath of God is a life-giving wind. It's the breath of life that comes from above. And hallelujah, when that wind filled that house, it was the life of God that had come to them in a way that they had never experienced before. The Spirit of God had come. The life, the breath, the wind of God had filled the place. Just like Ezekiel, when he prophesied, what happened? Those dead men, those dead bones, those bones that now had flesh upon them but were dead corpses, then came to life because the breath of God was breathed into them. And then this picture of fire. I guess one of the, there are a number of places in the Old Testament where fire comes down from heaven. Isn't that interesting? Fire comes down from heaven. It's not like someone lights a match at the campfire or lights a candle. No, the fire comes down from heaven. And I think of the times at the dedication of the temple and at the tabernacle and how the fire of God came down upon the altar. But here in 1 Kings 18, it's the story of Elijah. You remember that when he went to Mount Carmel? And they had that little contest with the prophets of Baal. And he said, now, whoever's God is the real God, that God will answer by
fire.
And the fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and consumed the altar and consumed the water and just burnt up everything. That fire of God. And so we see these pictures are not new. These signs are not new. But throughout the Old Testament, we have references to them. But then there was something else that took place. And it's the third thing that happened. It's at the end of the, or it's in verse 4. What does verse 4 say? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the ability or utterance. And I liked one of the translations as it was read, this thought of tongues. In this case, it was languages. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? Because all these people, as Sister Martha said, all these people that were gathered together heard the apostles or the disciples speaking in their language. And they questioned and they said, aren't these men Galileans? How is it that they could speak our language? Now, what's the answer to that? How is it that they could speak their language? What does it say? It says the Spirit gave them the ability. The Spirit was the one that enabled them to speak. And there was an immediate purpose for that. And what was it? What was the purpose for them to speak in these languages of the people?
They declared the wonderful words of God.
That's it. They declared to the people that were gathered the wonderful works of God. Now, we don't know exactly what was said. We know what Peter said after this, right? And we'll look at that later on. But the thing about this, it was they spoke the wonderful works of God. You see, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit comes and takes possession of our bodies and our tongues, we're going to speak about Him. We're going to be able to tell others the wonderful things that God has accomplished for us, for this world, through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus himself said before he left, he, meaning the Holy Spirit, he will testify of me. He, the Holy Spirit, will testify of me, Jesus. And so when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to be able to proclaim with power the wonderful works of God. I believe that those people that were gathered there, that was no accident. I believe God had brought them together for them to witness this great event, but then also to they themselves being filled with the Spirit. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. 3,000 were baptized. This was in God's plan. And so he pours out his Spirit upon these 120, fills them with the Holy Ghost so that they can speak forth the wonderful words of God. Do you think that made them witnesses? Do you think they were witnesses? Do you think in obedience they had fulfilled God's will? Did you want to say something, brother?
I was just going to say that your first word about obedience, all of them were filled, all of them, because that one word.
Obedience, yes.
Being in that room, all of them, because of obedience, yes.
And so God accomplished his purpose, yes, through them, all in one accord. God, we're here. Now what about us? Could we be in one accord? Are we in one accord? We've been encouraged in testimony and in songs to seek God, to give ourselves to God, to expect from God. And if we all came to our services, if we all came to the meetings with expectation, do you think God would work? God, fill us with faith. God, help us to get our eyes upon you. Help us to open our mouths in praise and in worship. You know, there are many ways that this scene has been depicted. I mean, if you know, I'm not such a fan of these Bible dramas, you know, but I have watched some of them, I confess. And how do they portray this day of Pentecost? You know, what was actually taking place? Well, we don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us. You know, I saw one where they were praying the Lord's Prayer. You know, they were all holding hands and they're all praying the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And the place gets filled with this wind and the fire. And it's just we don't know exactly what they were doing. But we can be sure that their hearts were open to God and saying, Lord Jesus, whatever it is that you've promised, we don't know what this promise of the Father really is. I mean, they had never experienced it. But Lord, we're waiting here because you commanded us to be here. And if you promised it, Lord Jesus, it must be good. You know, our brother mentioned the good things the Father has for us. Well, Lord Jesus, if you told us that you were going to send this promise, it must be good. And so we're here in faith, expecting, waiting for you to come. You know, I don't even know if they really, you know, were storming the gates of heaven as we sometimes picture it. Because this work of the Holy Spirit, this work of Jesus Christ, was something divine. And sometimes I think we maybe have the wrong, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here too, but I'm saying it, so I'll say it. Maybe we think we're not doing enough for the Holy Spirit to come to us. Maybe we feel we're not praying enough, or we're not separated enough, or we're not good enough. But just as salvation is a gift of God's grace, so is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God's grace. It's something that God does, not because we earn it,
but because he sees that we need it.
Oh God, send the fire. God, send the fire. But it will always be God's working and not man's. We cannot produce revival. Only God. Only God sends revival. Only God pours out the Spirit. And so I guess this morning I'd just like to leave you with this thought. Are we willing to obey? Are we willing to wait? Are we willing, as Jesus said, seek? The Bible says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Just the last thing to close is this thought about the inner change. Now, what do you think I'm going with that? There was these outward signs, right? There was the wind, there was the fire, there was the speaking in tongues. But do you think there was a change in the disciples? What do you think, Michael? You think they were changed on the inside? They had to be. Look at Peter. I mean, just go back, 50 days maybe? When Jesus had been raised from the dead, where were they? They were in a room. I don't know if it was the same room. But they were in a room, and what was the setting there? The doors were locked because they were afraid. They were afraid that someone would find out that they were disciples of Jesus. Am I right about this? Christine, I have it right? Yeah. Okay. So now, fast forward, and what happens? After the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them, what happens? Peter goes out and says, wait a second, we're not drunk. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now, how did they know that? There was this change that had come in his own life. The scriptures now became so real to him. This is that, beloved. This is what the prophet Joel has prophesied. It's come to pass today. And then as we'll see as we go through his sermon later on, the courage, the boldness. He's not afraid anymore. He's not ashamed. He's not hiding behind locked doors. Oh, let's close the windows, lest anybody hear the noise inside. Amen. Beloved, we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to produce that change within. Oh God, that we could be faithful proclaimers of this good news. And I've said it before, maybe here. I think that, you know, when you think about the plan, Jesus goes back to heaven and he depends upon his disciples, these fishermen, this tax collector, this zealot. He depends upon them to carry on the mission. I think that's a terrible plan. Because before the day of Pentecost, they were still fighting about who was going to be number one, who was going to sit at his left hand or his right hand, who was going to be the greatest. They didn't get it. But then the day of Pentecost came. And there was a complete transformation in those men. It was said of them later on in the book of Acts, these who have turned the world upside down have come here also. That's the impact they had.
and God would like to so fill us with His Spirit that we would impact, influence the world around us in such a way that people would know there's a God who lives and a God who loves them and a God who gave Himself for them and a God who saves and rescues today. And so, beloved, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in obedience to God's command, we want to wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Lord Jesus, we see our need of You. We see our lack. We see our inability to proclaim this message. We're not able to be the witnesses You've called us to be apart from the Holy Spirit filling us, taking possession of us, speaking through us, moving us. And so, God, I pray that You would help us, put within us a seeking spirit, put within us a hunger and thirst. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, it's a work of Your grace to create hunger within us, to make us thirsty for You. And Lord, we're pleading, we're asking, Lord, come to us. Come to us in these days, Lord. Lord, we're looking to You. We're expecting You to work as You alone can work. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for how You encourage us through Your word. And Lord, what You've done in the past, You can do again. And so, Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of years. Oh, God, pour out Your Spirit. Floods upon the dry ground. And so, Lord, we just give ourselves to You, Lord. Put within us this obedience that we will wait for Your promise, the promised Holy Spirit. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing together, Send the Fire. It's number 128. 128. Stand as we sing. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Thy blood bought gift today we claim. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Fire, for strength.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Denise, would you pray with us, please?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time together, Lord. We're so thankful for your word and that it speaks to our hearts, Lord, and that you bring these words to us, Lord, because it's what's upon your heart and it's what you desire to do. Lord, we do thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you did not leave us alone, Lord, but you sent the Holy Spirit to seal the deal, Lord. You
yes, Lord.
Sent the Holy Spirit because you recognized that we needed you in your fullness, Lord. Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit because you wanted to abide with us, because you wanted to walk with us
yes, Lord.
Moment by moment, Lord, and step by step. Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit because you wanted to teach us. Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit because you wanted to lead us. And Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit because you love us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I just pray that in these days, Lord, we would become better acquainted with you in the power of your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We all stand in different places in our walk as far as the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that in these days, Lord, truly your Holy Spirit would manifest itself in a greater way, Lord, to each one, Lord, that's
yes,
on the
Lord.
Campground.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way, Lord, in these days. And even today, Lord, may your Holy Spirit minister to each one, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.